Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Derek Pearson, brought to you by Canopy Street Market.
Boom! In your face! In your face! In your face!
Saturday. Saturday Live. Sports Conversations on the Ticket. I think I have some freedom today because... So Todd Euler's up next, right?
Yes.
So Euler's up next. Depending on how this hour goes and how some things manifest, I'm going to go until 1. Euler will come in at 1, and we'll see how it plays out after that. But, you know, it depends on the mood. We might do some things. You can be a part of the show. 402-464-5685 is the Starter Heyman text line. You want to be a part of it? Shout out, Rick Heyman. Rick, brother, we appreciate all that you do for the Ticket and for this community. Thank you, kind sir. And we still need the Rick Hart, the Rick Rock and Roll Hour, so you can actually talk music and share the stories. We need to do that. We need to figure that out. You can follow on all of the video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, Allo Channel 961. Please download the Ticket app if you have not done so. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. You can, in fact, and should have the app. It goes wherever you go. That way, you don't have to worry about brick and mortar. It'll be on your phone, on your laptop, no matter where you are and what goes on. It is a spectacular hot Saturday in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hot. Hot. At this very hour, it registers at 93 on its way to 101. 93, 94 just changed on me because it was like, nope, not hot enough. It's like the weather was paying attention. Oh, only 93? Here's 94. Here's 94. Have some. Thomas and Lincoln, shout out, bro. He says, thank you. What up, DP? Thank you for keeping me busy during the hot work day on a Saturday. You are appreciated, kind sir. Looking forward to the next hug. 100%. To Bill and Bennett, Mississippi Mud Dog as well. We had a question at the end of the previous one-on-one that I want to get back to. And of course, we'll go through some things. NBA Game 7 tomorrow night. The discussion over what's the bigger game watch day for Game 7, should that be on Sunday or Saturday night? But we'll talk about that because that's marketing and the psychology behind it. But I kind of want to know, like, where do you want that? The complex, if you're looking for some cage work, some cage action, fisticuffs and whatnot, other assorted whatnot, at the complex, first fight at 7 p.m. tonight here in Lincoln. You can, tickets still available. You can find it, the complex, Lincoln, Nebraska, if you want to do that, of course. And we have passes for the Salt Dogs. So if you are interested in that, there may be a time somewhere within this hour for you to just text in and say, hey, me and the family would like to go to Salt Dogs tonight as well. You can do that. Greatly appreciate it. I was, in fact, paying attention because this is one of those UFC Saturdays where they're international. And because on a day like this one, it starts earlier. It's a great card in that Jamal Hill, former light heavyweight champion of the world, and Khalil Roundtree, who in his last performance went toe-to-toe with Alex Pereira for four rounds before Pereira got the best of him. But it's one that, you know, he was highly celebrated for the amount of work he put in. He had some great success against Pereira before Pereira finished him. Pretty interesting stuff. A connection that most people would not have made, of course, Kamaru Usman from United, from Nebraska Kearney, national championship wrestler who's in the UFC, made his spectacular return last week to the UFC with a great performance. And when his brother Muhammad Usman kicked off today's UFC fight night with a unanimous decision, 29-28 on all cards over Hamdi Abdulwahab. And that's a big win for him in the heavyweight division. So shout out. He's spent some time here in Nebraska as well. So shout out to Muhammad Usman for getting a win and, again, leading this thing off. And it's a great card. So there's that. The question that was posed, Thomas asked the question here. Who are you pulling for in Game 7 and why? So I've been in this game for a long time, and you tend to connect to teams, rosters, cities, communities. That's what matters. There is not one professional sports city that I know less about than Oklahoma City. For whatever reasons, growing up, Oklahoma City was not a major sports town. That wasn't its place. It was known for minor league baseball, and there was some minor league basketball in Oklahoma City, but I wasn't familiar. Now, I was extraordinarily connected to the Seattle Supersonics. Seattle as a town, Seattle as a sports town, Seattle as a major sports town. There were tons of things. Now, the NBA final that landed the heaviest with me was the Seattle Supersonics and Washington Bullets. The Bullets had to go through the Sonics to get to win their first NBA championship. And that era of Seattle basketball meant a lot. It resonated a lot. You learned a lot about the fan base and why it was. And I never understood why the Sonics didn't get the arena that they thought they deserved to stay in Seattle. Seattle's a major sports town. Mariners, it's a happening. Seahawks, if you haven't been to that building during a Seahawks game, you haven't experienced the NFL yet. I'm just going to say that to people, just as simple as I can say it, that if you have not gone to a Seattle Seahawks home game, you have not experienced NFL game day. It's one of the ones that you have to put at the top, in the top five of game day experiences. Seattle, whether it's warm or cold, is an experience. And for some reason, the Seattle cold doesn't make me as miserable as the Lambeau cold. It didn't make me as miserable as Detroit, getting into Detroit Stadium. because getting into Detroit Stadium was miserable. Super Bowl Minneapolis, getting into the Super Bowl for those were very difficult. Seattle, I don't have a negative memory or recall of December and January games in Seattle. It was far more pleasant. But for some reason, the Sonics were moved. And that would be its own 30 for 30. If somebody out there wants to do a 30 for 30 on the Seattle Supersonics leaving and moving, being moved to Oklahoma City. It was still Seattle for me when Kevin Durant was drafted. They came through Salt Lake. At the time, I was doing sports in Salt Lake City. And the event back then was the Rocky Mountain Review. So before the NBA Summer League in Vegas, as it is now, the biggest Summer League get-together tournament was the Rocky Mountain Review in Salt Lake City. And, you know, there would be 12, 16 teams that would come into Salt Lake City and play for 2 weeks. Amongst them, Seattle. And this rookie from Texas that people just deemed he was too skinny, wasn't strong enough, And this is the first time you get to see them. And in this particular year with Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, Jason Williams from Duke. And I knew that Durant was going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. And then they moved to OKC, then add in Harden and Westbrook and company. But that being said, I am an old ABA guy. To my core, to my heart. My love for basketball started in the ABA. Didn't start with the NBA. The NBA was not cool when I was a kid. It wasn't cool. The ABA, the American Basketball Association, was cool. For a city kid, right? The style of play in the ABA was far more sexy than the NBA. The NBA was traditional. Yeah, I wasn't mad at Hondo Havlicek and Dave Cowens and Don Nelson. I wasn't mad at them. But they weren't Julius Erving. They weren't Dr. J, George McGinnis, Donnell Hillman, David Thompson, the Skywalker. They didn't have that kind of sexiness. And the red, white, and blue ball and the new three-point rule. Three-point rule, that three-point shooting was the ABA. The NBA fought that stuff. The NBA didn't want the above-the-rim action that the ABA not only wanted, but cheered for loudly. I loved the ABA. Athletes who ran the floor, they got long on the wing, they finished above the rim, they had a little spark and style to it. The games themselves were circuses. I feel bad for young hoops fans who never got to experience the ABA. Because the ABA, I mean, look, when you have like dancing bears at halftime, when you have people wrestling bears at halftime of your ABA basketball game, they literally said yes to any promotion. Anybody that wanted to do a halftime show could do it at an ABA game. And it was everything. And when you look at the Will Ferrell, you know, Miami Tropics movie, it's built on that whole, some of the craziness that went on. Some of it was bad business, but there were certainly stars and the style of play. To go through, Indiana had George McGinnis, who was as much LeBron back in the 70s as you could have. 6'8", 230-pound shoulders from God, directly carved by God. Some of the greatest afros to ever exist existed in the American Basketball Association. You would have on that team Donnell Hillman, who he and Julius Erving, they could have had an afro off. Like, those two afros were exceptional. Just Artis Gilmore, before he went to the Chicago Bulls, was with the Kentucky Colonels. And the Kentucky Colonels with Dan Issel and Louis Dampier. Like, they were guys, man. And then Denver transitioned from the old style to the David Thompson Skywalker 44-inch vertical leap David Thompson Denver Nuggets. I was raised on, so before the Washington Capitals hockey team, NHL team, there was a Washington Capitals basketball team. And its star player was a guy who would go on to win the NBA MVP in Rick Barry. But Rick Barry didn't want to play in Washington, D.C. My basketball fandom was born in several different arenas around the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, because the Virginia Squires had a guy from the University of Massachusetts who made his bones at Rucker Park in New York City in the summer. And they were like, who is this? Like, he's not playing for one of the big schools. You're at UMass, bro. How good can you be? But his name was Julius Erving. And Julius Erving was a Virginia Squire. And some nights he'd come out with the high top red Chuck Taylor. Canvas Chuck Taylor high tops. Some nights he'd have the blue high top Chuck Taylors, because Virginia Squires, the colors were red, white, and blue. Match the basketball. They would play at the Norfolk Scope. They'd play at the Richmond Coliseum. They'd play all over the state. Next to him was, from North Carolina, maybe the second best shooting guard out of North Carolina ever, 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 Charlie Scott. Ask your daddy about Charlie Scott. Bucket. Bucket. He was a bucket. We had a big center, 7-footer, and he was the slowest dude I'd ever seen, but he was spectacular because his footwork was amazing. He was slow, but he was quick at the same time. Billy Paltz. Billy Paltz is a 7-footer. That was my love for basketball, was watching the ABA. Was watching the old ABA. That was the St. Louis. Listen, St. Louis has some, the St. Louis spirit. Who birthed, you don't get Bob Costas without the St. Louis spirit, because he was an intern and an apprentice, and then because no one else would do it, he did the play-by-play. That's where Bob Costas cut his teeth. The old Utah Stars. The Utah Stars! Man! With the legend. Omaha's own Ron Boone, the legend Ron Boone, who they couldn't get off the court. The Utah Stars, man. Exceptional uniforms. Mwah! The ABA had some fantastic uniforms. Spectacular. So to answer the question in the longest way possible, my heart has to allow room and space for the success of the Indiana Pacers. Old NBA heads need the Pacers to win this, but the new game doesn't care. The new game says it's Oklahoma City. It's OKC. That's what the new game says. Old school value, old school legacy. You won't see The long list of Indiana Pacers, you won't see that long list for OKC Thunder. It's not that old. It's not that old. You got to go get Kevin Durant to wear a Thunder jersey for this to matter. Now, if you walk in and if we walk into OKC tonight and you see a bunch of Sonics jerseys, okay, I can have that conversation. But I am... We can go through, literally, I could do 2 hours on the old American Basketball Association. Because it was glorious. Mwah! It was so good. So good. Cheap tickets, cheap food and beer, and some of the most athletic greyhounds you ever saw in your whole life. Right, Mark, you're absolutely right. That Kansas City, the old KC Kings, who had to share time. Now, I don't have many regrets, but I wish I was around for Omaha Kings NBA basketball. And if there's anybody out there that has an Omaha Kings jersey, please let me know. Because now I'm going to go on a search because I don't want the mixed KC Kings Omaha Kings jersey. I want Omaha Kings jersey. I need an Omaha NBA jersey from back in the day or an ABA. I have Virginia Squires jersey. I have Dr. J's Virginia Squires jersey. I have a Rick Barry Washington Caps. But if you have old ABA goodies in your closet, please let me know in your basement. Fred Dot Horberg says the Kentucky Colonels team of that time should have gone over to the NBA, but I guess their owners made a lot of money and still are by folding. Yep. The Colonels were actually the second best choice of teams that transitioned over. And you're talking about New Jersey, so the New Jersey Nets, who have gone back and forth between New York Nets and New Jersey Nets. But at that time, Dr. J had been traded from the Squires to the New Jersey Nets. And the Nets won the ABA title with Julius Erving before. And then the league figured out, my goodness, we need this Julius Erving guy. What's it going to take? And the ABA was struggling financially. At least some of the teams were. And so they put together that, look, there's enough talent over there, but we want room for some of these teams because these markets need to be in the NBA. The Colonels were a blue blood ABA franchise. Again, if you said to them that Artis Gilmore, Dan Issel, David Thompson, Louis Dampier played on the old Kentucky Colonels / then into the Denver Nuggets. And they took a lot of players in the transition. But that David Thompson group from Denver? Oh, sir. Sir. Dan Issel may be one of the 10 best players that we don't talk about enough when it comes to NBA all-timers. Dan Issel was a problem. And when we talk about bigs, we don't talk about the big left-hander with the super afro. We don't talk about Artis Gilmore. Artis Gilmore, oh my goodness gracious. I think he was 7'4 with the afro. And he had to battle some dudes. The ABA days, we did a, Fred said he went to a KC Omaha Kings jersey against Billy Knight and the Indiana Pacers in Omaha right after the merger. Yep. Billy Knight, again, that's another Pacer that we don't talk about, but those were ballers, man. Like, when we go to break, I'm going to pull up some of the old rosters of the ABA teams just to give you some idea about what this thing looked like. If you just talked about ABA All-Star games from back in the day.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You will talk about some of the best basketball players to ever walk this planet. And we don't talk about them enough. But we will, because it's one-on-one and we can. Remember, never know what you're going to get. Toward the break, we're going to talk ABA when we come back.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
I try to remind folks at the beginning of all one-on-ones that we have no idea where it's going to go. Down the rabbit hole, all the way into a new rabbit hole, and on the break. Now, we're going to get back to the ABA. But a thing just happened that I've never seen. As much as I've been at UFC events and covered UFC events, I have never seen this where a foul was called because the two lady fighters were fighting, and a woman was kicked in the lady parts. There's no other way to say it. Kicked her straight in the lady parts, and I had to pause. And I I've got it on my laptop, so I have the capability of going back 10 seconds. So I just had to. I was like, oh, okay. Yep. Now they resumed the fight, but yeah, I had never seen it. So call it a first. Call it a first. Never seen it. Didn't really know how I felt about it. Didn't really know how I was. But I paused. Like, have I ever witnessed it? And I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened. I'm positive it's happened. I just couldn't recall it, and it certainly didn't hit me the way it just landed. Like, oh, that's a foul too. That's a foul. That's a foul. So again, fight night. It's Hill versus Roundtree Jr. Later, the prelims have already started because they're international today, and the fight cards have already started. So there's that. We were talking about the old American Basketball Association. Now, a couple of things in play. First of all, from the text line, yeah, that Coffee Black from the Miami Tropics had an incredible afro. And it's Andre 3000 from Outkast, who plays the character Coffee Black. Exceptional afro. As a matter of fact, Jackson, at some point I'll show you my high school afro, my high school basketball afro.
DP with a fro.
Fro, I was fro-tastic.
Bro,
yeah, here we go. It was so fro-manic.
On a scale of it was one so to fro, Dr. J, it was how so, fro was your
it was
bro?
So, it was so fro-manic. it was fro-tastic. It was. It was remarkable. Oh, it was
remarkable. It's fantastic.
It was fantastic, man. Fro-tastic. It was fantastic. It was not Dr. J level afro, but not many were. And afros had different. I'm going to say that Bake McBride, who was a center fielder for the Philadelphia Phillies, may have had the greatest afro ever, sports afro. Bake McBride, it's a Mount Rushmore of afros. Bake McBride from the Phillies, Oscar Gamble of the then Cleveland Indians, had an afro that was so spectacular and so epic that the league wasn't really sure how to deal with it. And I don't mean Oscar Gamble of the New York Yankees, where he had to trim it. I'm talking about this man's afro. Oh, had its own zip code. Thing was booming.
He had his own zip code.
Booming afro. Bake McBride, Oscar Gamble, Donnell Hillman of the Indiana Pacers, Julius Erving. Trying to think of great afros. On the other side of the universe, as a fan of the formerly Washington Redskins, there are two members of the Washington Redskins who almost make the Mount Rushmore of afros. And that story is spectacular because they are men of the Caucasian persuasion. That John Riggins, the Diesel, had one of the most epic afros. John Riggins, New York Jets afro. Yeah. John Riggins.
Oh, come on.
New York Jets, John Riggins afro was diabolical. That's talking fantastic. About a game changer. Game changing afro by John Riggins. So much so that to rebel from the people. He then cut it into a mohawk.
That's what I was saying. I was like, he cut it into
and a mohawk. And the mohawk was Mount Rushmore epic. It is right next to Mr. T's mohawk as epic. And it's, so John Riggins was epic in that, first of all, a white national-level sprinter. Right? That he was a national-level sprinter at Kansas City. With the afro and the mohawk, and then Super Bowl and be like, just do your thing. Like, do your thing. But if I, on the same team, underrated, this guy is such a unicorn that Mark Moseley, the only kicker in NFL history to win the MVP. Also that year, you know why he won the MVP? Because that year, Mark Moseley sported maybe the coolest white dude afro ever. Perm afro Mark Moseley. Epic. This dude, Mark Moseley's boy, okay. Listen, don't play with me. Okay. Don't play with me. Epic. Epic, epic, epic. But those, to say Bake McBride, Oscar Gamble, Donnell Hillman, there was maybe the perfect afro that perfect for baseball because it was the perfect one to fit under the batting helmet. But there's a guy who was a borderline Hall of Famer for the Chicago White Sox by the name of Dick Allen. Dick Allen was a power hitter back in the 70s, 60s, 70s. And he had an epic afro run. It was a spectacular epic run. You know who I have to put into consideration? Another white guy that probably you wouldn't think of, but he had a perm. But he permed it into an afro. And you don't think of him that way, but Don Sutton. Don Sutton, who renowned for his time with the Dodgers, but he played everywhere. And Don Sutton, for a three-year stretch, permed his hair into an afro. And it was Will Ferrell from Tropics stole his afro from Don Sutton.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, come on.
Don Sutton didn't even play with it. He was nice with it. His game was nice with it, bro. To have that kind of pull-off. And he was pitching at the time. So the fact that he had the afro and the hat stayed on the entire, like, he never lost his hat while having the afro. It's just a retard.
Oh, I want a baseball card with him in that.
Bro,
oh, that's awesome.
It's so good.
Oh, come on.
It's so good. It's so good.
Just a mid pitch.
Oh man. Like, it was, you know, hold on here. I have to, because my buddy just texted me and they were trying to remind me of guys who had game, right, in sports. But the Riggins, if you this is how good Riggins afro was, that if you type in great white guy afro, John Riggins, of all the white afros in the world, John Riggins' picture is third. It's third.
Oh, my God. It actually is.
It's third in the great. You can Google great yes. white guy afros. And the John Riggins afro from the Jets. Oh, mind yeah. you, that John Riggins was running. He was running 9,600-yard dashes wearing black high tops. John Riggins was a savage. He was a savage. You know who else is on it? Oh my God, the painter.
Bob Ross.
Bob Ross is on it.
Bob Ross, yeah.
Bob Ross is on the list.
It's a good afro.
Bob Ross is on the list. That's so good. That's so good that he's in the top. You literally could Google it and he's in the top. Oh, that's spectacular. Oh, man. So in the great afros conversation, again, Julius Erving, Bake McBride, Oscar Gamble. I do have to include early Ben Wallace of the Pistons.
Yes.
Early Ben Wallace, early Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, true. Yeah, he had quite the fro.
Cap had
it was long.
Cap had the one.
I remember that one.
You know what? I had forgotten. I was giving Oscar Gamble his credit, but I had forgotten how magnificent Oscar Gamble's afro was. So there's a thing that you can do with afros.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. called Coke. You can, Cocoa Puffs.
I love the way he wears his hat.
Right? But there's this one, both of the, any of his baseball cards, it looked like he had the Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
But he actually just had the afro.
And they're like on the side.
Right. It's just, it's the two headphones of afro. Yeah, he's wearing headphones. Like, it's the two headphones of afro. And you just go, oh my goodness gracious. This is spectacular. You know who is on the list? Mm. Oh! Oh, DP, shame on you. My buddy just sent to me a young Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards.
Young Herm Edwards. Afro Perfecto. This is Herm.
He had it.
Herm had game. He had afro game. Go. Herm Edwards, bruh, my apologies. My apologies for not giving you the shout out. Oh my goodness.
Perfectly like
shaped. The
hairline's there. Oh,
bruh.
Like, that's a good afro.
That is a fantastic. That's a
good afro.
Young Cleveland Cavaliers, Mr. Allen has afro.
Jared Allen.
Look behind you.
Randy Moss.
Young Randy had. He was afrotastic. My buddy Keith Kloss had a pretty, for a tall, skinny dude.
He had.
But the artist Gilmore, super afro with the mutton chop. Like, he had the whole mutton chop. He had the sideburns, goatee. Like, he had, I could grow the afro. I couldn't grow the facial. I couldn't pull that off. Artist Gilmore pulled it off. Pulled it off. And he held on to it late into his career, where the afro started to run back away from his scalp a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
Right. He's running away from it a little bit. But he still did his
thing. He's got like a swoop.
It went, Father Time is undefeated. And afros are usually where it works. Like, this is when you start to know that.
Got the great facial.
Artist Gilmore. There's a list. Somebody had a list that had Oscar Gamble, number 13. Blaspheme. Dimitri Young of the Detroit Lions had a 3-year epic run of afro. Shame on me as well. You know who belongs on the list? Mm. And we don't think of it because he always wore cornrows. Allen Iverson.
He had an
afro? Allen Iverson had the serious capital letters. Fro.
Oh, he did. Oh, it's young.
Bro, he had the serious. Yeah, man.
Well, he was on the cover of Slam.
Yeah, man. He had the serious. Yeah. We have to count him.
Okay.
Even though his dad was a tennis player. But Joakim Noah had a fantastic afro.
That is true.
He had his draft night afro. Oh, my goodness. Straight out of Florida?
He wore it down.
Oh, he wasn't playing with it. He was not playing with it. So I'm going to say, yeah, we're going to have that debate. Like, that's a full-on debate. But it has to go in two different categories.
Mm-hmm.
It has to go in two different categories. Black afros, not black afros. Because I need to have the John Riggins, Will Ferrell conversation. And here's what I need. Here's what I need. So Bob Ross and John Riggins are like 1A and 1B. But I need to know, do perms count for white guys? Perms count? And then did Will Ferrell wear a wig for the tropics or not? In the movie, was that a wig or was that a Will Ferrell perm?
That's a good question.
Right? So the text line, you can fill us in. Yeah. Yeah, Husker. Yeah, well, 1 month. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're, again, down the rabbit hole. All the way down the rabbit hole. But this is what one-on-one does. I try to tell you in advance. Forrest Gump's mom told you, you never know what you're going to get. When you get into one-on-one, you never know what you're going to get. So this is how it works, man. I told you, when you come play with me at one-on-one, buckle in, because we don't know where it's going to go. We are now fully in white dude afros. We'll be right back.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Canopy Street Market on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Yeah, we're all over the place. We're all over the place. There was a day, there was a game the year after the World Series where Anthony Rendon of the Nationals was given the day off to rest injuries, etc. And so Dusty Baker told him, we're not even going to put you in uniform. So don't worry about it. You're just going to take the day off. And Rendon showed up with his full afro. And when I say full afro, that afro could have been used as a satellite. That afro had distance. It had distance. Underrated afro. He didn't show it much. But my goodness gracious, that was the thing. Early Dan Marino mid-afro was the thing. Bernie Kosar of the Cleveland Browns. Exceptional afro. Exceptional. Well done, Bernie Kosar. Well done on the anthem. Bill Walton had it. And Bill Walton did it with the mutton chops. Like he and Artis Gilmore had a facial hair battle of when Walton had the long hair and it was like cherry red. I just remember it. It was like, bro, what are you doing? Like, this is when I know you get the best herbals in California. And he was in Portland too. And he just go, okay. Honorable mention, people that we may have missed, and shame on us for doing so. But yeah, you mentioned the Huskers. We could do an entire show on Husker afros over the course of the years, which I will hand off to the Huskers and let them tell the stories, because I know. But Kenny Bell would lead the discussion of Husker afros. There's a lot of close cut Husker heads back in the day. And I don't know if that was a Tom Osborne thing or otherwise, but exceptional. I do want to go back to the ABA and finish up. And talking about the ABA, MVPs for their seasons. Again, this is 67 through 76. 67 through the prime years of the American Basketball Association. And sidebar, you can Google that for a 10-year period of time. I was actually, my moniker was the official voice of the American Basketball Association. The new version of the American Basketball Association, which was minor league before the G League, D League. I was the voice of the entire ABA, carried all the games, playoffs, etc. So that's where historically I knew some of the stuff. But in 67, from the Pittsburgh Pipers, the Hawk, Connie Hawkins, maybe the biggest hands to ever play in pro ball. Connie Hawkins was serious. Mel Daniels from the Indiana Pacers, even though they lost in the finals, was the MVP in 68. In 69, Spencer Haywood of the Denver Rockets. Spencer Haywood, high schooler that went through early. Mel Daniels repeated. Then Artis Gilmore in 1971 from the Kentucky Colonels. From the Carolina Cougars, the kid, Billy Cunningham, legendary Sixers coach, legendary player, Hall of Famer for the Sixers. From the Carolina Cougars was the MVP in 73, 74, and 76. It was Julius Erving. And the listeners of this show, one-on-one in this station, know how much I love the old Sixers play-by-play call, introduction of their lineup. Go back to the 70s Sixers and hear their arena announcer announce the starting lineup. It is a work of art. Should be in every museum. And then 74, the aforementioned George McGinnis of the Indiana Pacers was the most valuable player. So those are all the players who got to be a part of that. It was a great run. And then, you know, business took over. And that's how we play. That'll do it for one-on-one for Saturday. I think I will go find air conditioning from the heat and hand this over to you guys. Jackson, I think since you and Tristan are here, what you should do after Euler is you should introduce folks to Tristan. You guys should do a ticket weekend. Do an hour. Yeah, figure your way through it. Easy enough? Yeah, I think you can do that. DP out on a Saturday. Y'all be good to each other.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.